بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا الله تبارك وتعالى in the Quran in many places has spoken about the heart. قلب is the word in Arabic which comes from قلب يقلب, that which can turn very fast. In the world that we live in today, they speak a lot about the brain and a lot of emphasis has been put on the brain, that this is the boss, this is the king of the entire body. Islam has shown one above that, which for some reason the shaitani world does not want to accept, that more higher than the brain is something called the heart. One is what we call our heart that pumps blood. And in that same cavity, in that same area, Allah Ta'ala has placed a spiritual miracle. It is something that is not seen by the eye. Ulama have written, it's that same, in that same flesh, where the world sees that it is pumping blood and being the source of blood for the body. That same flesh also is the source of a sudden impulse, a sudden decision. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ Allah Tabaruk Tala speaks of this heart. That if this heart can be pure and clean, and even if the organs of the body are failing and a doctor says that the person is not going to live, if that heart is clean and pure, Allah Tabaruk Tala says, do not ever call this person dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ Rather they very alive. Meaning a person has a heart attack. My friend had a heart attack last week. Went out on the groups, what a death he had. He was on holiday. Normally on holiday, whoever engages in ibadat, nafal ibadat, the place where you're staying normally on holiday, you will say, we'll make our salah in the house, in the room. We'll make it what jamaat, because the musalla or the masjid was about 5 minutes away, or 5 kilometers away. He told his family, for Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, we are going to the masjid. He was on holiday, but there were certain days in the holiday way from Asr till Maghrib. He said, you all carry on back to the flat. I'm reading Quran. Who on holiday normally spends so long to read Quran? The night before he passed away, then he stayed from Asr quite, perhaps till Isha reading Quran. And then he used to wake up for Tahajjud while on holiday. And the day that he passed away, that night, and he had his ghusl, he put on his kurta, where normally if a person is reading salat, especially tahajjud, especially on holiday, you will perhaps have what is called your night clothing on. You'll just put on a kurta on top. You won't make ihtimam to take a ghusl, to put on the lower garment, the top garment, which is actually the demand of Islam. Where they say, when standing in front of Almighty Allah, wear that clothing which you will wear in front of someone respectable. But sometimes a person at night, they become little lax in that, to perform salah in pyjamas, in night clothing. What a mubarak death he had on the musalla, tahajjud time, then he falls. It's called a heart attack. So the doctors of the world will say his heart stopped pumping. But that was that one heart. But his heart was so clean that his call to Almighty Allah was going to take place on the musalla at the time of the Hajjud. So a few days later, his student had a dream that he was sitting where he normally sits in the office. And normally when he used to sit there, then it was a habit, if anyone is going past, he would just scream like. So if you're late, then you try to act like he mustn't see you. Because he'll always call you, and then 5 minutes we have to give him. But he was always someone who kept everyone happy. So he had a dream, he saw him sitting there also. And again, as that boy is moving, he called the boy, hey. So the boy came in, the boy was an Arab, Palestinian who saw the dream. So he told the boy, get me some coffee. Get me some coffee. So my brother Mullah Musa mentioned this dream to me. So after a while, what came to my mind is that when does a person ask for coffee? And like, what does coffee indicate towards? So coffee normally is like, I come on suffer on a journey, and then we have a nice meal. After the meal, the person say, I'm very full. Then they'll say, can we get some tea or coffee? They, whoever's full also, they'll always say, is there any biscuits with it? Okay, bring it. Like, I always got place for coffee. So by him asking in the dream for coffee, it was like saying to the boy that everyone knows what a wonderful debt I had, like. But don't think like I'm full now, and that you don't have to give me anything else. Just like how a person had a full meal and he says, I've always got place for coffee. It was like saying to the students of the madrasa that whatever isal e sawab you make for me, like, it'll be appreciated, because even if I'm full with Allah, I always got place for coffee. Like, I said, what a nice dream it was to show that I'm well, I'm alive, I'm in my place, I'm doing my work, and I got time for coffee also. So the world will say his heart was dead, because it stopped pumping. Because he died with a pure heart. A man who dies with a pure heart, Almighty Allah says, more alive than anyone else. Our mission in this world, where the mission of those that love to love, the people of Iman, we don't love to love. We love to die so we can start living. We love to die so we can start living. Meaning our real life starts after death. Everyone else, after death, there's no life after that. For them, after death is, if they get death after death, they'll be too happy. Which Almighty Allah says, when the people will say, Ya laytaha kanatil qadiya, can't death come and meet us? And it will be said, death is dead. On the day of Qiyamah, death will come in the form of an animal. And then when it's going to be slaughtered, the people of Jahannam will scream and say, don't kill death. Because death is the only thing to take us out of our misery. As for the people of Iman, when they will see this is the end of death. We love to die so that we can start living. They are scared of dying because after death for them, they would have loved that death comes again, but after death it's only punishment. So we love to die. As for the people who love to love, they will spend millions to make sure they got a healthy heart. But their heart, healthy means a physical heart. They will go to a physical doctor. They will be ready to pay him a lot of money for a checkup. If he finds there's a beep in the wrong place, they will be ready to take any medication he prescribes. The family itself will be ready to change recipes. Expensive tablets will be taken from overseas. A lot of dua will be put in, and there's nothing wrong making dua for the physical body. But so much of effort will be made for the physical heart. Whereas it's known that a day will come that the heart will have to stop. On that day, the only value to the body is what is the nature of the secret of that heart. Is it pure? Man atallaha biqalbin salim, who has come to Allah with a good heart. Or is it a sick heart? What is the difference between a good heart and a sick heart? In the world, you get people who are laborers on the ground. Perhaps someone is cleaning the streets. Someone is cleaning windows. If you go to those countries that got skyscrapers, then you wonder sometimes, I wonder who cleans those windows. Then you see people there. That person to clean the window, what a job Allah gave him, like. For us, like, if someone can tell us, go there on the top and you can glide for one day, we'll be very happy, like, it's a thrill. But for this man, every day he has to tell his wife, I'm going to go on top, make dua, I don't fall. To live there on the top cleaning windows, What a hard life he got. But how much he got gets paid. And then you get the boss who's inside the office. He's also right on the top. But he's in the air-conditioned room and that man is outside the window. This man got no fear of falling because there are floors under him. That man is hanging on for life. If you look at the two jobs, you will say you should get paid much more than this man. This man is relaxing, having coffee, tea, just making a signature. That man is putting his life on the line to clean a window. But when they ask who gets paid, it will be said the one in the office. They'll say, why? They'll say, he's the boss. That sentence, he's the boss. A boss doesn't have to do what is outside seen the most work. But he gets paid the best. In our body, the king of our entire body is the heart. More than the leg, more than the hand, more than the tongue, it's the heart. If this heart responds and it does its job, by Almighty Allah, the pay is very high. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at a sahabi radiallahu anhu who walked in the masjid. His sandals were in his left hand and water was dripping from his beard. Just before he entered on the gathering, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you want to see a man from the people of Jannah? And then he walked, an Ansari. The next day Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said, do you want to see a man from the people of Jannah? Same sahabi, same sandals, same hand and water dripping from his beard. Third day again he asked, do you want to see a man from Jannah? Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As radiallahu anhu says, I was amazed, one time you say you are a man of Jannah, 3 days. He says, this man must be having some unique action which has beaten all of us. He said, I need this. So he goes for it. He goes while walking behind the person, he says to the man, me and my father had an argument. And I took a qasam and oath that for 3 days I will not enter the house. So now to fulfill my oath, I can't go home. He said, you got a place for me. In the houses of the Ansar, there was always place for everyone. So he said, no problem. And he made arrangements that the wife will sleep in one room. And he and this Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As will sleep together. He says, the only reason I did it is I'll have full time to be able to see what is that action. He says, but I noticed, he even mentioned, I did not even finding him waking up for the salah of the night, which in the world of the pious, that is the sign of piety. Like, tahajjud is not in our life. Then they say, where are you? But he said, I did not even find him waking up for the salah. There were those sahaba radiallahu anhu who read the salah before going to bed. They used to make sure they read a little at night, but waking up was their honor. He said, he woke up for the Fajr. And the second day and the third day, I did not find that action. So then I went to him and I said, really, to speak the truth, there's no fight between me and my father. I heard this, I want to know, what is that action of yours? So the Ansari said, if you heard this from Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I don't have really any action. What you saw is what I do, my basics. And then as he's going away, he said, there was one thing perhaps which you never see. He says, you know me, I don't hate any person. I have no enmity, no jealousy. I have a heart that is happy with everyone. Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As says, I looked at him and I said, wallah, it is this that has taken you far from the rest. What was his action? His body was not standing up and his legs were swelling in the tahajjud salah. The tongue was not becoming tired with a lot of recitation of Quran. The eyes were not becoming red with a lot of tears, and each of these actions are unique actions. But he had an action of the heart, which was called the king of the body said, I have an open heart. I do not harbor ill feelings, anger, jealousy. On that he was given the glad tidings of paradise 3 times. Because when the king does work, it gets a blank check also. The king of the heart is our heart, king of the body. If we can ask our heart to do the work it's created for, and one of those works is to be clean-hearted, then every one of us will be entitled to a blank check by Almighty Allah. That's what we're living for. A teacher told her students, it was a lesson to young girls and boys, but it's a lesson to us old people, that auntie can be 70 years old, she still got it in. When you go to her, she's angry with her sister-in-law. Sister-in-law's leg is already in the grave, her leg is in the grave. He said, we'll fight this on Qiyamah. He said, there you want to fight, her whole life. He said, what you got to live for? When someone is angry with somebody else, our advice to the person is, no matter what that person did to you, let that person's action not spoil your paradise. If my heart is clean, it's my Jannah. I am getting certificate from Almighty Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his Khadim Sahabi Anas bin Malik radiallahu an, that if you can, then go to bed at night. وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ. In your heart there is no malice for anyone. Enmity, anger, jealousy. He said, if you do this, you will be my companion in Jannah. That person who has done us down, why do we want that person to close our relationship with Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's not worth it. That person who did me down, hit me down, knocked me down, Allah tabarak ta'ala has a system. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, someone said something hard to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. Later on he mentioned that as long as you did not yourself answer, Almighty Allah had established an angel to answer on your behalf. So the teacher gave her students potatoes. She said, tomorrow everyone must come with potatoes. Everyone came. Then she said, oh my children, I want you all now to think about who you don't like. Always you'll have someone, I just don't like that one. Normally it's, I don't like my mother-in-law. That's like, even if you like your mother-in-law, you tell your friend, I don't like her because you feel bad. How can I like her? Whereas Islam doesn't have that. In Islam it's different. People can't understand. Imagine you have one wife, a co-wife who says, I like the other one. Everyone says, you're lying, you can't like. Say, why you can't like? It's impossible, you can't. But among the Azwaja Mutahharat radiallahu anhum, how they got together, how they spoke, how they used to get, discuss issues, how they used to have their groups. So many things in our mind can't happen. But when a person knows that I got a ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I don't want to break that, I must die with the certificate that you want to be with me, next to me in Jannah. Then for me to be able to keep that certificate, I must sleep at night without hatred for anyone. Anyone does me down, I will say my angel will sort it out. So she says to her students, definitely there are people you don't like. So think about it, and then on each potato you write one person's name, like one person's name. So some boys, some girls, even though they're young, you have a enmity. Imagine me and you, if we had to be told, we'll have bags of potatoes in our house. Each potato, one person's name. Each potato. So some students had 3 potatoes, some had 5 potatoes, some had 7 potatoes. Now they finished. Children are children, they're happy, work is done. She said, no, it's not finished, it's starting. I want for 1 week now, we are going to carry these potatoes wherever we go, even if you go toilet. You will keep it in your packet, you're not letting go of the potato even when you're sleeping. Now for the children, this is like funny. But they did it. Going toilet, someone got his packet with 3 potatoes. That was not so bad. Someone got 7 potatoes. 7 potatoes starts getting a little heavy. And as the potato starts rotting, now even if you're in the toilet, it's not the smell of the toilet, it's the smell of the potato. And when you're trying to sleep at night, now they're waiting for the day to end, 7 days. And this competition is over. The end of 7 days, that state of the potatoes also. Because most likely because it was already touched, it was going to give off. It wasn't going to keep its freshness. Then the teacher said, now you can throw away the potatoes. And they all said, thank, like how they say, thank goodness. She says, you know what's the moral of my story, my lesson to you all? She says, just like how we could not manage to carry 7 potatoes on which was written the names of people who we hate, our heart also cannot manage to carry those names. Just as you were carrying 7 and it became irritating and it started rotting, when you write those same 7 names on your heart will start rotting. If you couldn't manage 7 potatoes, you're not going to manage 7 names here. If you never want 3 names there, you're not going to manage 3 names. How light you want your own burden to be, you can make it light. No one around you can make you upset unless you let yourself become upset. If someone is mocking you on WhatsApp, if you're going to read it, you're going to get irritated. If you don't read it, so all you have to say is, I have no group. Finished. Someone says, you know what that one said about you? I don't know. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, whose name was going to spread in the whole world. But at the time when he was the Imam of Iraq, obviously you're going to have people jealous. Sometimes the student would come and say, Oma Ustad, on my way to you, one person stopped me and said, why do you go to that man's gathering? There's another man whose hadith and knowledge of hadith is much better. Why don't you go to him? This man only got questions. What if this happens? What if that happens? As soon as the student would say that, Imam Abu Hanifa would hit like on his desk. And he would say, oh my student, there's so much work to do and so little time. He said, there's so much work to do and so little time. Whoever has to talk, let him talk. We got work to do, let us do our work. One day, the one who hated you could become your best friend. As long as you don't make that one know that you know of that one's enmity. One day the one who hates you can become your best friend. But you have to hide her enmity at the moment, his enmity. You have to act like you don't see it today, then you won't have to worry about it tomorrow. In Hilyatul Awliya, an incident is mentioned. The doorkeeper, you call it a darban, Bawwab. But in the past, the kings would keep that person and his doorkeeper, who was also very wise. Because it's the person like your secretary who you see most of the time. You become close, you trust the person. So now and then, as he would have free time, he would call the man in and say, give me advice. So amongst the advice, the doorkeeper would say to the king on nearly every occasion, was those that show goodness to you, pay them back with goodness. And those who go out of their way to harm you, he said, you don't have to worry about sorting them out. Their own evil will catch up with them. Those who go out of their way to harm you, you don't worry of sorting them out. Their own evil will catch up with them. Then a time came where another person of the court became jealous with him. But why is he always so special to the king? So on one occasion he mentions to the king that the way you show so much love to him, if only you know what he talks about you. The king said, what does he say about me? He says, amongst the people who are close, he mentions that the king's mouth gives off a terrible smell, foul smell. So naturally, even if the king had no smell, you become conscious of it. Now you're putting your hand there, you're thinking, is there a smell? And the king says, how dare he say a thing like that? So he tells the person, but how can I believe you? He says, okay, the next time this man comes, I want you to see how close he comes to you. Always you'll see him standing at a distance. Call him closer. And then the same individual goes, and he says to this person that I want to give you a meal tonight. And that night he prepares a meal, but he puts a lot of raw garlic in it. Lot of garlic. So the person eats it, but then he notices now that there's a smell in the mouth. And at that same time now, while he's trying to get rid of the smell, the king calls him. So worried about that terrible stench from the mouth. He keeps his distance from the king. And then the king says, oh my friend, come closer. Now he's a little bit shocked, like, now how close can I go? So as he goes closer, he puts his hand by his mouth. He's covering the mouth, but for the king, because the king's mind was on this. So for the king it was, I never saw him covering the mouth, I saw him covering the nose. And that means what? That's how me and you jump to conclusion. If we have to look at everything without any preconception, we will see a lot of things clear. But because already in our mind we say something, then we're always going to jump after. The king saw it. He said, how dare he thinks of me that? So the king wrote on a paper, closed it up, and he said to him, take this here and go and give it to one minister of mine. So he took it. As he was going out, something happened. And that person who was jealous of him, he saw this. And for some reason he misunderstood, or somehow it landed up in his hands. And he thought that the king had written for this man to his minister that when he comes to you, because that minister was the one who would normally give out the royal gifts, that when he comes to you, you must give him so and so amount. So this person was already burning with jealousy when he saw this, that he's getting even more now. So as he's speaking to the person, he says, you know what, I'm sure there's some very important work for you, I'll sort this out. Let me take this. And he takes it and he doesn't even think, and you can't open the royal gift because it has a stamp. So he takes it to the minister thinking, I'm going to collect something. The minister looks at it, he looks at the person, he looks at it, he says, you sure? And this person is like, yes, like. So then he walks around, and then he was called the minister, but he goes and he mentions to someone, the king said, kill him. So suddenly a few people enter and they grab him and he starts screaming, what are you all doing? And he says, it's a mistake, you misunderstood, what are you all doing? And then they kill him. And what was written in the letter, when the bearer of this letter comes, not only kill him, skin him. And then fill his skin, stuff it. Make that stuffed body and send it to me. So they do this. Now when that stuffed body comes, the king is looking at this body and says, now what happened here? So he calls the minister, he said, what you did? He said, this is the man who brought the letter. The king calls his doorkeeper. And he's very irritated and he says, didn't I give you this letter? He says, no, I was going with this letter, but this person then said to me that he wants to. And the king is wondering, why he? And then the king says, tell me the truth, don't lie. Then why did you come close to me and you put your hand over your mouth? So he says, you know, my friend, the same person you killed, he gave me a meal. But he filled it with so much of garlic. And at the same time you called me, and the king is looking. And he says, this liar, he told me that you are saying I got a terrible smell. So this man looks at the king and the king looks down and he says, I almost killed you. Almost killed you. So then the king said, today I understood the wisdom of your advice. The one who is kind to you, show kindness to him. But sometimes in our life, the one who has been kind to us, a friend to us, always with us, one small fight takes place. Somebody else sometimes causes the fight, and somebody else means the devil. And in that small issue, in 1 minute we forget an entire life where two people stood together. When they were poor, they were together. When they were sick, they were together. It's your sister. When you were at home, you all always spoke together. You all were always together. You all shared in tears. You all shared in happiness. You all always stood. Something along the line happened. One thing. And how we jumped the other way. That for years I'll never speak to that person. Islam never wanted that. So the king said to the minister, give me advice. Minister's first advice was, those who are kind to you, continue showing them kindness. Meaning don't let one or two whispers change your attitude. And those who are out to do evil, he says, don't bother about them because their evil will catch up with them. After this, the ulama write in this incident from Hilyatul Awliya 3 lessons. Lesson number 1, do not be so dull-minded. that anyone and everyone who says something to us, we believe it. Someone says, he said, she said. If someone says to us something regarding our own personal self, immediately grab it. Pay attention to it. Study it. Look at it. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahimullah, people would write a lot of things to him. People would praise him. And then there would be people who would criticize him. When the letters would come, the praise, he would look at it and he would say, Allah, make me better than this also. And put it one side. When the letters of criticism would come, he would study it. That if there is some truth in it, I need to rectify myself. As for the lies, that's who bothers. But let me look for the truth. There might be one point here I need to adjust. He would look at it. Someone one day read those letters. He says, rubbish this is. How can that man write like this? He said, just leave it. He says, you know, the pride that is created with the letters of praise, the letters of criticism breaks that pride. He says, so when the praise comes, I use this to balance it out. He said, what you bothered? When people criticize us, we become irritated and angry if we think we are better than what they are saying. Whereas me and you, we know our reality. We are not the best. Ulama in the past, when people would criticize, in their heart they would say, oh Allah, what he's saying is just because of the little he knows of me. If he knew more of my reality, what the world will be saying. None of us are clean. None of us are clean. But because Almighty Allah in his kindness, he put a covering, satr over all of us. Our uyub, our faults are covered. Let it never make us think we clean. And now when someone comes and tells us, hey, you dirty, now I get angry. We are not clean. We have a hope to stand up one day as clean by Allah. That's why we make istighfar every day. Allah, purify me. Allah, purify me. Who needs to be purified? Someone who's dirty. First lesson of this incident, ulama mentioned, don't jump onto every statement. When someone says to you, that auntie said this about you, that girl said this about you, you know what she's saying? We mustn't ask, I want to know details. Tell me more, tell me more. Phone again at night. Again tell me what she said. Don't ever do that. Because you asking for your own destruction. You must go out of your way to say, bang, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah. He said, there's so little time and so much work. People will say many things, we got work to do. Allah grant us tawfiq on that. Point number two, we must never be the one who plots evil for somebody else. Because evil itself will catch up with the one doing wrong. If it doesn't catch us today, 10 years ago, a friend sent to me an article of a woman. She's quite popular in her circles. She went for a surgery on the neck, whatever it was, small operation, it never worked. So she sent out the letter or the message, nowadays it's on the groups, you send it to all your friends, please pray for me. Muslim woman, Muslim by name, but very far from real Islam, said, please pray for me that I have now been paralyzed. The operation never go well. They made one mistake and she's now paralyzed. 10 years ago, this woman sent a message out that Islam is the most paralyzed religion in the world. Without the support of America and the support of this country, it can't do nothing. 10 years ago, I'm looking at the date. Islam is the most paralyzed religion on earth. Why she had to say it? What gave her that? Just to take out some anger. Maybe she was not happy to wear the scarf. So she is not happy, instead of feeling bad and say, Allah, I'll continue saying, I'm sorry, I am sorry. When you allow anger to get the better of you, then you even take it up with Allah. 10 years ago she said, Islam is the most paralyzed faith on earth. Your own evil will catch up with you. 10 years later, she's sitting on that chair and saying, I have been paralyzed for life. Every evil will catch up with the one doing Me and you must not plot evil for anyone else. They will not have to stand up in defense. Evil bounces back. If it doesn't hit the individual himself, it will hit the beloveds of the individual. If you don't see yourself crying, you'll see someone around you crying. Don't ever laugh at somebody else, because one day, in Arabic they say, "Man dhahika," he who laughs, duhika, people will one day laugh at him. Islam taught us, our mission on earth is to keep this heart clean. So lesson number one, don't jump onto every sentence and make it affect our bodies. Mission number two, lesson number two, don't plot evil. And lesson number three, if someone goes out of their way to harm us, leave the individual. We don't have to stand up in revenge. Allah got His same system. Our job in this world is to reach Almighty Allah with a clean heart. For that heart to be clean, we can't let any dirt enter it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught it in a manner that the conquerors that came later on, he entered Makkah Mukarramah. He was a conqueror. 8 years before he left, there was a time he went to the Kaaba. He said to the doorkeeper of the Kaaba, "Will you allow me to enter?" The doorkeeper would open up the doors. There was no major issue like today. People now, the numbers are a lot. Makkah Mukarramah was small. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just said to him, "I want to perform 2 rakats in the Kaaba." He knew he is going soon. Hijrat is going to take place. The person was opening up so much for everyone. He just showed his anger. He said, "For you, I'll never open up." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that no problem. But what will be the condition one day when that keys are in my hands? This individual says, if this keys ever come in your hands, that will be the worst day for the Quraysh. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he said, the day that keys are in my hands, it will be the best day for the Quraysh. And then he went for his hijrat. His words had such an impact on this man's heart. The individual says, from that day I knew that one day the keys are going in his hands. He says, before time even came, I said, I will rather also accept Islam. Then the day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Makkah Mukarramah, then he called for the keys. The person was already, he gave the key. He already knew it's going to happen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the Kaaba open. He went inside. He broke the idols. When he came out, he called him. He said, Allah has commanded when you take something from someone and amanat, give it back. He said, I am putting this key in your hand. Until Qiyamah, no one except a zalim will take the key away from your family. 1,400 years have gone. That keys are still in that family. If he wanted to, on that day he could have said, you never opened up the Kaaba for me. If ever I get this key, I'll make sure you never enter the Kaaba. How he smiled. At that time when he smiled is, if ever I get this key, the one who I'll give the key back to is you. When he entered Makkah Mukarramah, people came around him and he said, how must I deal with you? What answer they had, how he dealt with them. His head was in sajda on his animal. Then his sentence was, we won't even speak of the past. How many people he made maaf? The Crusades attacked the Muslim world. Their own historians wrote, their animals, their horses, as it waded in Al-Aqsa, the blood was reaching the knees of the horses. They were grabbing young children who were still alive. Seeing life in the child, they were flinging the child against walls. Legs were breaking while the person was alive. Babies, they were throwing them on walls. Their own historians wrote. 90 years later, Salahuddin Ayyubi enters. How he is going to enter? He said, we got an example, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He enters that night, he has police to walk around Al-Aqsa to make sure not a single Christian is harmed. Their own historians wrote, what a difference it was between the two conquests. Why? Because me and you got a different role model, they got a different. Theirs is the devil who says, take out your revenge. Ours is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was ordered, wa'fu amman zalam. The man who oppresses you, forgive that one also. Constantinople is conquered by the Ottomans. Before the conquest, he sends the last letter to the Roman, the Caesar, whose name is also Constantine. He says, if you now agree, you're going to lose this thing. We're on the verge of entering. Agree now and I promise I will not touch any of you. But if we have to enter it, then we're going to take now. And the Caesar says, I'll never hand over the city. And then they enter. When they enter, again he got a role model in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That night his police have to walk around to make sure no one's things are taken. When you will go in Constantinople, Istanbul today, in what is known as the museum, which shows the conquest of Constantinople, they even have that letter that the next morning he called the priests now to say, what do you expect me to do? And then he says to the priest, that church, no one will touch it. We will look after it. And then all the Christian men and women start celebrating. Up till today, it's written 800 years after Hijri, meaning 600 years ago, Tariq recorded how they celebrated. But who were they? They were the ones who were just the last 2 months fighting against the Muslims. So many died. But what they thought we all have a role model. It is called Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every one of these leaders wanted to be the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For that they worked to keep their hearts clean. They had to forgive countries. They had to forgive towns. They had to forgive castles. They had to forgive the king that they fought battles with. Me and you have to forgive our brothers and sisters. If they were, could find it within themselves to make that, and they got the blank check from Almighty Allah, me and you also want that blank check. So easy it is to reach the highest levels of paradise. Just clean your heart. So easy it is to go far away from Almighty Allah. Just dirty the heart. That packet with the rotten potatoes, we don't want to carry it. Almighty Allah in His court does not want a heart that is filled with rotten potatoes. We clean our heart, we will enjoy it by the court of Allah. We allow our heart to be dirty. That person's enmity is going to sort that person out. Let it not spoil my relationship with Allah and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almighty Allah in His kindness, bless every one of us with a pure heart. Allah Tabarakala in His kindness bless us with children, progeny, and we can teach them from a young age the lesson, learn to forgive. In school, don't be a bully and don't hold grudges. Have an open heart and Allah will continue pouring in your heart. Get a dirty heart, then even no one will be ready to put zamzam in the heart. Teach this to your daughters, teach this to your sons. Today when marriages are having problems, one of the biggest complaints that's coming is now the girl and the boy want to get back together. But it's the parents who say, no way. Say, what the parents are getting involved in? The parents supposed to tell the child, my child have a open heart. Learn to forgive. Forgive everyone, forgive your own also. Husband must forgive his wife. Wife must forgive the husband. Hardest level of forgiving, hardest level. The husband comes home, looking at the wife's phone, he finds a message where the wife messaged another man. One individual came to me with a problem like this. He couldn't sleep for days. His wife is now crying. He spoke to that person. The person said, you know, it was a mistake, but we never ever met even. It was just a chat. I know it's wrong and it's not going to ever happen because I'm gone now, but... So the person is crying to me, crying. He says, but how can I look at her like? And she is crying also, and the children will cry. So much crying is going to take place. So I said to him, what do you think made your wife do what she did? So he said, lust. I said, rather the devil. The devil made her. I said, why do you think the devil made her do what she did? She messaged. Because the devil wanted you and her to fight until divorce. And it wanted young children to have no father and no mother. I said, let's try to make the devil angry even if it's hard on the heart. I said, if you can go home today and tell your wife that you know what you did was not right at all. But in life we all make mistakes. I also can perhaps make a mistake and I want you to forgive me. But why must we make the devil happy? If we can just close this chapter, hug each other, hold each other and act as though it never happened. I said, who do you think will get happy and who will get angry? I said, definitely Allah will become happy you saved the marriage. And the devil will become irritated. I was on the verge of breaking it. I said, who we want to make happy? A while later I met this person. He said, you saved my life. But I never saved him. He just needed to have that heart to forgive. Whereas that to forgive is very hard. But even a man, if he forgives there, he will find Jannah on earth. Here what I am asking is to forgive petty and small issues. If we can learn to forgive and forget, you will find your heart will just pump with spirituality. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant it to all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.